Thank you so much for your warm welcome. It's a great pleasure for me to be here tonight in this wonderful church and speaking to so many people here in this country. I love this country, and we are 14 days in different places. We have been in Seattle and Portland and Denver, Albuquerque, and many other places. And now this is the last station, and on Wednesday I will go at home to Germany. We will speak to this evening about information. What is information, and what conclusions can we make from the laws of nature about information? But first, let me tell a little story that comes together to information. When a chief of North American Red Indians had called his people together, he was asked by one of his executives, "Great chief, what will the next winter be like?" The chief was a wise man, and he knew his people very well. He thought for himself, "If I shall say the winter will be mild, my red brethren will be lazy and won't collect any wood. So I shall say there will be a long and a very, very strong and a very cold winter." When autumn came, the chief watched the weather eagerly. It turned out to be extraordinarily mild, autumn lasting much longer than it ever had. Gradually he felt more and more uneasy with his forecast. "What will my red brethren say if winter will be as mild as it seems now? They will accuse me of lying, and their confidence in me shall be gone." So he took his horse and rode to the nearest weather station to inquire for the outlook. He asked the meteorologist in charge, "White brother, can you tell me what this coming winter will be like?" The answer was, "We expect a long and a very, very cold winter." The chief was surprised. "How did you find out, by your satellites and all the instruments and your computer systems and at all?" "No," said the scientist. "We watch the Red Indians. They are piling up wood like mad." So he came back to his own information, but we need information from outside. And that's what we want to do in the next hour. If we have a look to our world, we see three domains of reality: matter, information, and life. What is the best way to understand what matter is, information is, and what life is? Of course, if we have the highest evidence in science. And the highest evidence in science is if we have laws of nature about these three domains. The laws of matter are well known, and you find it in the books of physics and chemistry. The laws of information are very new. And so we will learn the laws of nature in this evening. Also, we need the laws of nature about life. At the moment, there is only one law of nature about life known. It's coming from Louis Pasteur, and he said, "Life is only coming from life." Let's have a look to a few processes which work under the condition of information. Here, for example, you see a walking machine, and this walking machine has six legs. In each leg there is a computer installed, and also sensors are there, and of course a very, very complex program. Therefore, the machine can walk on plane surfaces and also can go upstairs and downstairs, but not anymore. If we would weigh the complete machine, including the information, you will get a very specific value. And then we delete the information, and we will weigh it once again. What will you think is the way now. It is exactly the same value. Therefore, we can say information is not a part of the matter. Information is a non-material part. That's a very, very important thing to know that. Let's have a look to another walking machine. You see it here. It has also six legs. It is a stick insect. Here's the body and here the head. This walking machine can walk in all kinds of bushes and trees and everything. So you see, it needs a much more complex program to do it. So also, information is a very important thing here in this machine. But it's not a machine, it is a living system. It represents life, and its name is stick insect. Let's have a look to another information system. Here you see a robot in front of an organ. What is the robot doing? The robot reads the music by the camera. It has hands and feet. And there is also a computer system installed with a very large program. And so it can work. In this case also, if he would delete the information, it cannot work. So you see, in this case also, information is a very, very important thing. On this picture, you see a microchip. Microchip represents matter and information, and the end represents matter plus information plus life. Maybe this end is constructing the next computer generation. Let's have a look to another system. What you see on this picture looks like a drawing from a mechanical machine. You see a bearing and a rotor as in a big machine. But it's no machine constructed by engineers. It is the most commonly known bacteria, E. coli. It has six electric motors, and what needs it that it can function? It needs a power station generating the electric energy for the motors. It can make a copy from itself within 20 minutes, so it needs a complete computer system that operates with all the installed information. How big is this bacteria? The volume is 1 milliard of a cubic millimeter, and the mass is 2 multiplied by 10 power minus 12 grams. Let's compare it with this pinhead. Here I have a little pinhead with a diameter of 2 millimeter. And the question is, how many of this bacteria fit in the same volume as my pinhead here? I've calculated it, and there are 4 billion bacteria which has the same volume than my pinhead. You see, that is real nanotechnology. In many textbooks, you find the following equation. Matter plus information equals to life. But it's a very, very false equation. Therefore, we can say it in this way. Matter plus information is not life. Now, let's come more and more to the question, what is information? What is the highest level that we can understand the reality? I said, if we know laws of nature. So let's have a look to the laws of nature first. On this picture you see laws of nature, you see models, speculations, and other levels of scientific knowledge. For example, theories or hypotheses and so on. What is the difference? You see the red line here, and it will say models and speculations and theories are originated and formulated by man. But there's a great difference between laws of nature. The laws of nature originated from God, and the laws of nature formulated by man. That is the great difference. Therefore, A law of nature can refute a model, can refute a theory, can refute speculation, and can refute all other kinds of scientific knowledge. That's important to know. Now let me give a few statements about laws of nature. Laws of nature are based on experience. We have looked to many systems in reality, and then we are looking what is the basis that it can function, and so we come to find out the laws of nature by experiment and also by observation. Important is the laws of nature are universally valid. They are not only valid here in America, also around the world, and also on the moon and in the complete universe. Therefore, it was possible to fly to the moon, and nobody has been before, but the laws of nature we know here on Earth are valid also on the moon, and therefore it was possible to make a calculation about the necessary energy and so on. The laws of nature are valid in all kinds of systems, in non-living systems, and also in all kinds of living systems. The laws of nature do not vary in time. They are always valid 1,000 years ago and also today and also in future. And a very important thing about laws of nature is the laws of nature are simple. That's the reason that we can learn all the laws of nature about information on this evening. It's not too late, and it doesn't need millions of years to explain it. And let me give another important statement about the laws of nature. There are no exceptions from laws of nature. And that means in all processes where we are going and where we see and what we observe, the laws of nature are always valid. And there is no exception. If we find one example in reality, then it contradicts this special law of nature, then we have to say it was no law of nature, it was a false formulation. Let me come to another few important things about laws of nature. The laws of nature are the foundation of technology. Therefore, we can construct such wonderful churches than this year, and cars and aeroplanes and radios and everything what we can do in technology, we do it under the condition of the laws of nature. And let me come to another important statement about laws of nature. Laws of nature determine if a process mentally conceived will be possible or not. That is a very, very important statement, and I explain it with a special example, and we need it later on once again. On this picture you see a special system, and you see water is running up here in this way, and then it comes down as a waterfall, and it starts once again to go up and falls down. And this process will never end. Is that right? Have you seen such a process? Never. What would you say if a scientist is coming to you and said, in my laboratory, I have such a process made. Come to me and look at it. But it's thousands of miles away. You have to come with the aeroplane, but I will show it to you. What is your answer? You can say, it's not necessary to come. I know a law of nature, and that law of nature says no. So you never can do such a process. It's impossible. That is the way that we use the laws of nature. We use it in this way that we can say a process in our world is possible or not. Because the laws of nature have no exceptions. That is the reason. Now let me come more and more to the question, what is information? the American mathematician Norbert Wiener said, information is information, neither matter nor energy. It's an important statement because he said information is not matter and information is not energy. Evolutionists say there are two fundamental quantities in our world, matter and energy. And everything what we see in our world is coming from this both fundamental quantities, from matter and energy. And therefore they say there was a Big Bang, and only matter and energy, and everything what we see is coming from matter and energy. And this statement tells us it's false. There's another fundamental quantity, and therefore I say it is the third fundamental quantity, information. And information is a non-material thing. That is important to know. Let's come more and more to the question, what is information? For example, this picture, is it information, yes or not? We are not sure, and in history we had a long period of time that the people didn't know what it is. But when the soldier of Napoleon came to Egypt and found this Rosetta Stone, then it was possible to understand what the hieroglyphs mean. Because on this stone we see the Greek language, the Demotic language, and also the hieroglyphs. And therefore it was possible, after a long time of research, to understand what it means. Nowadays it's no problem to understand the hieroglyphs. One programmer in Germany made a program for a computer, and the input is a long chain of hieroglyphs, and the output is the translation in German language. Let me come to the definition of information. You see it here on this picture. There are five levels of information. Syntax, statistics, syntax, semantics, pragmatics, and apophatics. What does it mean? Statistic is the lowest level of information, and if we look to a book and we count all the letters A and B and C, then is that what we are saying? We have statistics on this book. The next level is syntax. If we have a look to a book, we see many words. The words are constructed by different letters, and all the words come together to a sentence, and so on. All the questions like this we find on the second level of information, it's the syntax level. The third level is semantics, and here we find the meaning. What is the meaning of the text or of the hieroglyphs or whatever that it is? What we also see on this picture is that we, in all cases of information, we have a sender and recipient. The sender is all the information is coming from the sender. It needs an intelligent being to create the information. We have seen a few systems which work under the condition of information, and that is the level of pragmatics. What is the expected action, for example, is the question on the sender side, and what is the implemented action on the recipient side? And let's come to the highest level of information, it is apophatics. What is the intended purpose and what are the achieved results? So we have a definition of information, and we see it is not to say in one sentence or two or three, it needs a complete diagram to explain it. Now let's come to the laws of nature. I said they are very simple, so I can explain it in a few words what it means. There can be no information without a code. That's what we see, what we observe in our reality. If we see information, then in all kinds there is a code used. And a code is a free result of a free and deliberate convention. That means it needs intelligence to create a code system. There can be no information without a sender. In all cases, if we see information, it is done, it is created by an intelligent being. Any given chain of information points to a mental, to an intelligent source. It means in some cases we cannot see the author, but if we go back link by link in the chain, the end we will see, or at the beginning we will see, there is an intelligent source. There can be no information without a will. If you want to write a postcard or letter, you need your will that you want to write it. And there can be no information unless all the five hierarchical levels are involved. Statistics, syntax, semantic, pragmatics, and apobatics. And let me come to the last one. Information cannot originate in statistical processes. It means it's not possible that matter can generate information. It is an impossible process. That's what we see. You see, the laws of nature about information are very simple. Everybody can understand what it means. I said we have no exceptions from the laws of nature. Therefore, we can formulate it in this way. It is impossible to set up, to store, or transmit information without using a sender. Or it is impossible to have information without a sender. So we have the laws of nature formulated. What we need in science is that we have to say what is the definition domain of information. It was confused to me when I started to have research in the question what is information. In all the papers, there was no given definition domain and also no definition what information is. But if we want to make real science, then we have to say what is the definition domain of information. And so also we have to make here a definition domain. My question is, what is the best definition domain? What is the best way to make such a domain? No, let me say, the best one is if. We make such a domain that we can say in all cases and all systems which are included, then the laws of nature are valid. That gives us the possibility to understand unknown systems and to make very strong conclusions. And that's what we want to make. So you see here on this picture definition domain like this. In all the cases, we see there is a code system, and all other systems are not within the definition domain. For example, a snowflake or a star, we see it directly, and therefore it is not information. There is no code. And also, random processes, letters or numbers which are coming from a random process are also outside of the definition domain. So we see it's a very clear definition domain, and now we can analyze unknown systems. That's what we want to do. But first, let me give a few examples that we make a decision. Are we inside or outside of the definition domain? For example, this picture shows us all our letters, and they look very good in colors. What kind of alphabet is it? This is my most expensive paper I have with me. Maybe the price is $50,000 or more. Why is that? The Swedish photographer Kjell Sandvedt had a look on the wing of a butterfly, and he saw this letter F. And he was surprised to find a letter on the wing of a butterfly. And so he said, I will look with my microscope and look if there are other letters on the same wing. But he didn't find. So he had an idea. I will go and look to many other butterflies. Maybe I will find the other letters of the alphabet too. But he didn't know what he wanted to do. It needs 15 years traveling around the world in 30 countries. Then he was ready. And so you understand the price of my picture here. The question is it information in my definition domain, inside or outside? Now it's clear we are outside because there are no real letters. There are only ornaments on the wings of a butterfly. And sometimes you find here and there an ornament which is similar to our letters. That is it, not more. There are thousands and millions of different ornaments on the wings of butterflies, and sometimes we find such ornament which is similar to our alphabet. Maybe it's possible when he is traveling 15 years more to find the complete Greek alphabet, or so on. Another question, is this information or not? Here we see the snowflakes. Oh, of course, we are outside because we see the reality, and there is no code which we can see, no letters or symbols or so on. It's very clear we are outside. Let me come to another example. Here you see the ripple marks on beach sand. Are we inside or outside? Of course, we are outside because there is no code system here. Half an hour later, I made once again a photograph on the ripple marks on the beach, and I saw this. And I was surprised, and what is it? Is it information or not? On sun, we read, the sun shines. I did it during my holidays, and therefore I took the letters from a symbol set, and now it's clear, it is information. You see, it is not so difficult to find out, are we inside or outside of the definition domain. One example, once again, on this picture you see many symbols, and the question is this information, yes or not? It could be because we see the black lamp here and here and here also, so it could be coming from a special symbol set. But at the moment, we are not sure if we are inside or outside of the definition domain. But if we can translate it, then we are sure. And that's what I want to do now. We see, we can translate it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the water. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good. And he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning the first day. You see, it is possible to translate, and therefore we are sure it is real information. Now let's come to the living system, and we will come to the answer of origin of life. Is it possible to give an answer from the viewpoint of laws of nature about information? Let's see this in the next few minutes. On this picture we see the 20 formulas of amino acids which we find in our body. In our body we have 50,000 different proteins, and all the proteins are long chains of amino acids. For example, the sequence of amino acid in human insulin has 51 amino acids. You see the two chains. In our cells there is a symbol set of four letters, adenine, thymine, cytosine and guanine, and in the genetic code it is done in a way that three letters from this symbol set represent one amino acid. So for example, GCA represents the amino acid alanine. In this code system we find in the DNA molecule. In the DNA molecule we find the highest density of information in our world. Let me make a calculation about the density of the information in the DNA molecule. Once again, I use my pinhead. And my question is, how many books can I store in one pinhead if I use the same material as the DNA molecule? How many? If I have this paperback, what is the height of the pile that I can store in one pinhead? Can you say me a number of meters or miles, how big the pile could be that I can store in the volume of one pinhead? Will you give me one number? These young people here. 384,000 kilometers, but the pile could be 500 times higher. So you have an impression about the information density in the DNA molecule. It's the highest density we know. For here on this picture, I have the smallest Bible in the world. If you don't believe it, I will read it. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Let's compare the density of this Bible, the complete Bible, with the DNA molecule. And we see, I've calculated it. In the DNA molecule, the information density is 7.7 million, million times more than here on this Bible. So you have another impression about the density of information. Now let me come to the question to analyze unknown systems. With this diagram, it is possible to analyze all kinds of unknown systems. And that's what we want to do, to analyze and to make very important conclusions. There's a diagram, you see sender and recipient, and you see all the levels of information. What we have to do is, if we want to analyze an unknown system, we have to look at all the levels of information. And if we find it out, then we can make our conclusion. Let's have first an example here on this picture. We see there are a few bees. That's the sender bee, and here you see the recipient bees. And this bee wants to transfer information to the other bee. What is necessary from the laws of nature, we can say they need a code system. And this code system, in this case, are dancing movements. There are three letters, the sequence of movements, the number of gyrations per time unit, and the direction of motion. There are three letters, and it's possible to say everything by these three letters. It's possible, of course, to translate the complete Bible by this code system. Maybe it needs to dance a few years if they are through the whole Bible, but it's possible. What is the meaning? The recipients respond the encoded information, distance to the food source, direction towards food source, abundance at the feeding place. What is the action in this case? The bees in the hive respond to the received information by flying to the food source. And what is apobatics, the highest level of information in this case, we can say the nectar required for nourishment is found. So we see there are all the levels of information, and we have sender and recipient. Now let's come to the very important question about living systems. What about living systems? We can say, on the syntax level, we find the genetic code in the DNA molecules. There are four letters from the symbol set, and three letters give the meaning of one amino acid. And we see on the next level, the action, the process of translation, it means the protein synthesis in living cells. The proteins are essential for the construction of the entire organism and for realization of all biological functions. And what is the result? What is the apobatics? In this case, we can see, say, the material foundation of life. So we have analyzed this unknown system. Now we can come to the conclusion. And I said we can make very clear, very strong and very important conclusion. That's what we want to do now. What is the first conclusion? We can say there must be a sender, because we are inside of the definition domain of information. That's what we have seen analyzing all the levels of information. And so we can say the first conclusion is, since we have established that the code sequence into the DNA molecules is within the definition domain for information, according to the laws of nature about information, there must be a sender. That is important. It is a very clear conclusion. That's what we can say. I gave you this example. Laws of nature determine if a process mentally conceived will be possible or not. We will use this statement now, and let's come to another very important conclusion. Those who assert that chemical and biological evolution are true do so from their fundamental assumption that the universe is composed solely by matter and energy, which have self-organizing properties, and conclude that there is no sender. The strong conclusion that there must be a sender contradicts their conclusion there is no sender, and eliminates any possibility of life originating solely from matter and energy. And the most important conclusion is here, therefore, all theories of chemical and biological evolution must be false. It's a very clear and a very strong conclusion. Not only there's a little bit which we have to repair it in this theory, we can say in its complete, it is complete false. I am happy that the laws of nature can give us the answers about this. Let's come to the third conclusion. The laws of nature about information determine that information is the third fundamental quantity, and its nature is non-material. Now the conclusion. The discovery of the third fundamental quantity falsifies the assumption that the universe is composed only of matter and energy. Also, a very, very important conclusion. And let's come to the fourth conclusion. Since matter and energy alone cannot create new information, and since information is non-material, man's physical body cannot create new information. Therefore, since man does create new information, man's being must contain a non-material component. That is a very important thing. We are not only matter. There must be a non-material component. That's what we can say from the viewpoint of late nature about information. And let me come to the next one, to the fifth conclusion. Now you may ask, where did the sender get this information? That's a very important question. And there are two possibilities to give an answer. First, an infinite regression of sender. What does it mean? Where is the sender get this information? Let me say, from an over-sender. But the question is, where did the over-sender get the information? Oh, let me say, from an over-over-sender. And where is the information get from the over-over-sender? Oh, very easy, from the over-over-over-sender. And we can come to the next step. We need an over-over-over-over-sender. And we need more, an over-over-over-over-over-sender. And so on. We need an infinite number of senders. Yes? That is must be from the laws of nature about information. Or we can say an internal, eternal sender with infinite information. Both is from the laws of nature possible. Let me come to my personal conclusion. As for me, the second possibility, an eternal sender with infinite information, is the simplest and most logical conclusion. What we have done to this moment, all that we have done is only science. We used the highest level of information, the highest level scientific knowledge, and we said the highest level in science is if we use laws of nature. We made very few important laws of nature, and we could give very important conclusions. But where we are now, we are here on this point. Who is the sender? Do we know the person of the sender? That's a question we cannot give this answer from the viewpoint of science. Therefore, let me say we are here on a scientific boundary. Not possible to find the answer from the viewpoint of science, from the viewpoint of laws of nature, and also from the viewpoint of laws of nature about information. What do we need? We need another information source. We know two kinds of information sources. The lowest level, we say that the theories, models, speculations, and so on, made by man and formulated by man. The next step, what we said, are laws of nature originated by God and formulated by man. What is the next higher level or the highest level for information? If we would have a source which is made, this is originated by God and also formulated by God. That is the highest level. And do we know such a source of information? Yes, there is one. There is only one. And that is the Bible. The Bible is the only source of information where we can say it is formulated by God and it is originated by God. And so I can open my flap and you see how close it comes together what we can say from the laws of nature and what the Bible says. The Bible says there is a creator. And in Genesis 1, 10 times we read, and God said, 10 times, that was the way to create matter, to create information, to create energy, to create the complete universe and to create life. Everything made by the word of the living God. How many times is, what time is necessary to do it? In Psalm 33, verse 9, we read, for he spoke and it came to be, he commanded and it stood firm. Maybe a nanosecond is enough to create everything. But we have heard from Ken Ham, God said he has done everything in 6 days. So it was his decision to do it in 6 days. And therefore, I believe it, because it is the highest level of information source that what we have in our world. There is no other information source with a higher quality. So what we can do? Believe, that we believe that what God is saying to us. And let me come to the person of the Creator. In John chapter 1, we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Through him all things were made, without him nothing was made that has been made. You see, everything is made by this Word. Matter, energy, information, life, the complete universe. Everything. Nothing is excluded. Everything included. Therefore, we see it is done by the Word. But who is this Word? If you read further in chapter 1 of Gospel John, you see it is the Son of God. It is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ made everything. Everything what we see in our world is coming from Him. Also our life. It is made by Him. All the DNA molecules are made by the Son of God, are created by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gave us a very, very important statement in John chapter 3, verse 12. And He said, I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? What would He say with this sentence? Jesus had many talks to the people, and He teached about many things. Jesus told about creation, about the 6 days, about the flood, and many, many details what we find in the Old Testament. And what are this for information about everything are earthly things. Why are earthly things so important for us? That we believe it. Not only we say we understand it, it's not enough to believe by our heart. That is what Jesus said. He said it's important because how can you believe heavenly things if you don't believe all the earthly things? So it's important for our heaven to know and to believe all the earthly things. And therefore, for me in my life, it's very important to speak about creation and all the details about creation, that we understand it and that we believe it and that we go this way. So it's very important. Now let's have a look to an interesting example we find in the Bible. If this concept of the 5 levels of information is true, and it is true because there are laws of nature, and the Bible is a source of information, then we can say, also in the Bible we will find all the levels of information. That's a very clear conclusion. And let's have an example where we can see it. In Acts chapter 8, we find a very interesting story. We find a story about the finance minister of Ethiopia. And this man was traveling a long tour from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. He heard that in Jerusalem it is possible to find God. And therefore he said, I must find God. And therefore I go there. And he was 6 or 8 weeks on the way, and then he was in Jerusalem. He looked for God to the people, but he didn't see any kind people or happy people. Oh, they don't know God, he said. And so he couldn't find God. But on the last day, he said, I will take with me a souvenir from Jerusalem. And so he saw a man, and he had a scroll. And that man said, this scroll is very, very expensive. Maybe $50,000 or whatever. But this rich man from Ethiopia said, no problem, I can pay for this. How much? And this man said, this scroll is very old, 700 years old, handwritten in Hebrew language. And the finance minister said, no problem. During my school time, I learned Hebrew language, and so it's no problem for me. So please give me this scroll, and then I will go home. But when he was on the way at home in the desert, then he started reading. And that's interesting what happened to this man now. Let's see. There was another person in the desert, and they came together. And you see what happened now. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me." What was his level of information? Now we see it was syntax level, not more. He couldn't understand the meaning. But then Philip explained it to him, and Philip said, then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture, Isaiah 53, and told him the good news about Jesus. And I can imagine this man when he was talking about Jesus, and he said, Jesus was crucified outside of Jerusalem a few weeks ago, not longer. Then the finance minister, what would he say? "Oh, you are a liar. I don't believe it. Look here, my certificate. It is 700 years old, my scroll. And you say what here is written in my scroll is very, very new. Only it happens a few weeks ago." But he said, "It's right what you are saying. But let me explain it in a little more detail. God was spoken to the prophet and he said to him, I will send my son Jesus Christ to the world and he will take away all the sin. And then he will die on the cross." And then he understood it. So he came to the next level of information, to semantic level. Let's see what happened then. In chapter 8, verse 37 to 38, we read, "The official answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he ordered the chariot to stop. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him." This man made a very important decision. I say, I will follow this Son of God. I will follow Jesus, and I will come to the heaven. That's what we see here in the next step on the apophatics level. He went on his way rejoicing. That is what happened now. Why was he happy? The reason was he came to Jesus Christ and therefore he came to eternal life. And so he could be very, very happy. Let's have a look to this very important heavenly things about eternity. I show it with this picture. This picture shows us man's fall into sin. Ken Ham was also speaking about this. And he told us, what we see now at the moment is a broken creation. We have many problems in our world. What is the reason? It's coming from the sin. And God said, if you will come to the sin, then you will come to the spiritual death. And that's what happened. And now we are in a very long chain of death since Adam. The Bible says it in Romans 5. Death reigned from the time of Adam. And what is the next step? The physical death. And the last step is, and we find it in Hebrew chapter 9, man is destined to die once, and after that, to face judgment. What is the result of this judgment? The Bible says eternal death. And eternal death is the hell. It is a terrible place, the most terrible place we know. Jesus Christ has spoken very often about this terrible place. And he said, don't go to that place. So we can say, this black line is, can we compare with the train? It is a train of death. And we all are sitting in this horrible train of death. And we are going this way, as is shown here, to the eternal death. But let me come to the good news. The good news of gospel. Jesus Christ saw that we are going this way. And so he said, I will go to this world And I will die on the cross and to pay for all the sins. And therefore, that's the reason I will open all the doors of this terrible train. And everybody now can go out from this terrible train. And Jesus is saying to us, come out. I invite you, go out from this terrible train and come to another train, to the train of life. And that's what you see here. This is the train of life. You can go out on one day. One day. In my life, it was one day in November in 1972. I got this invitation from Jesus by a very important preach. And then I went out and came to the train of life. And now in this train of life, what happened here? In the train of life, we go this way, also to the physical death. But no problem. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. And then we will go to eternal life. That's what the Bible says. That is the heaven. A wonderful place. We all are invited to heaven. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we are all invited to come to this place. And if we are there, we can say, congratulations that you are there. And please bring with you your neighbor, your friends, your relatives, all people you know. Come invite them and bring them to the train of life. I will finish with two examples that can help to understand what it means to go out or to stay there. I had a lecture in Germany, and after this lecture, a young lady came to me and she said, I don't go out from this terrible train. I will stay there. I will go to the hell. I can't understand, why will you go to this terrible, to this horrible place? You are invited to come out. And she said, my mother died a few weeks ago. And I love my mother very much. And she was not a believer, so she is in hell. And I want to go there where she is. And I said to her, you don't know where she is. Maybe in the last 5 minutes, she asked to Jesus, I will come to you, and then she will be in heaven. But you don't know, we have no clear answer in this case. And I said, if you want to go to hell, you will never find your mother. Also in the case, if she is there. Because the Bible tells us it is it's a place of darkness. And it's not a place of meeting, that people can meet together. Impossible on this place. It's a horrible place. You will never find your mother. I don't know what their decision was later on. And another day, there came a young man to me. And he said, I have never heard this about the Bible and about this train and everything. And I say, it is so complex to me, I cannot understand why did God it so in such a complex way. Couldn't he say, all the people around the world come into my heaven? God is love and he has all power, so he can say, come, everybody can come. Why not? And I said to him, the answer you see here is the sin. What is the reason that we have a world like this? We are living in this world. We have so many problems. It is coming from only one sin, no more, not thousands or millions of sins. Only one sin has destroyed the complete world, has destroyed our thinking, has destroyed the governments, the states, have destroyed the families. Therefore, if we want to write the history of our world, we can say it is a history of wars. That is what we see, coming from one thing. And I say to him, what happened when you will go to the heaven with your sin. And he could understand it. He said, yes, then it now, it is a short time, and the heaven will also see thee as on earth, with all the problems. I see. Therefore, it is necessary that you will find forgiveness for all your sins, that you can go to the heaven without sin. That is what the gospel of Jesus Christ explains to us. We need forgiveness. We need that all sin in our life is forgiven. And then the doors to the heaven are open for us. And the heaven is a wonderful place. God is there. Our Creator Jesus is there. And it's a wonderful place of pleasure, a wonderful place, and we are all invited.